how many I've got here, 14 or 15 questions.
Yeah.
And if you would, just answer them as long or short as you want.
Okay.
Okay, first, you joined the Tigers in 29. What kind of minor league record did you have?
What kind of what?
Minor league record.
Well, I'd had a pretty good year up in Montreal. I went there in 1929 and won 22 games and lost 12. I'm pretty sure that's a record.
And the Tigers purchased you in what, in September?
They brought me up in September, yes.
Uh-huh. How many minor league seasons had you had at that time, up to that point?
Well, I started in professional baseball in 1925 with Cushing, Oklahoma, that old Southwestern League.
Mm-hmm.
And then those is Class D League, and those leagues were pretty short then. And that fall, when the league was over, the Detroit had bought me during the 25 season and sent me up to Montreal. Detroit was cahoots with the, not Montreal, I'm sorry, with Toronto.
Toronto, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. They had relationship or worked with Toronto in those years. And then I finished that 25, yeah, with Toronto. And then 26 is Detroit was working with Fort Worth at that time too in the Texas League.
Right.
26. So they sent me had me down at Fort Worth in 26. Well, I don't know. It was kind of in the middle of the season. Well, it wasn't that late either. I was only with them about a month, I guess, and they didn't like me. So they sent me to East Texas, Marshall, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
In that East Texas League. So I finished out the year with them. In 26, and in 27, I was with, is my memory gone again? 26 is Fort Worth and Marshall, Texas. Oh, and 27, yeah, this is 20, with Decatur, Illinois in the 3I League.
Uh-huh.
That was the year that Lindbergh flew the ocean.
Right.
And Carl Hubble was the other left-handers on the club then, Decatur. I had won two or three ball games then, but anyway, they decided to keep Carl. And they sent me to Wheeling, West Virginia in the Mid-Atlantic League in 1927.
Well, you saw the country, didn't you?
Yeah, I should have been a gypsy. I finished the year with Wheeling, West Virginia. Had a fair year down there in 27. And 28, Detroit had working relationship with Evansville, Indiana. So I wound up with Evansville, Indiana in 28. That fair year down there. In fact, I was married in Evansville, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
High school sweetheart.
Oh, so you brought her from Kansas to marry you?
Yep.
Okay.
Same place. We went to school together. And 28, finished the year with Evansville and had a fair year with Evansville. So I don't just remember whether, I guess Detroit had working relationship with Montreal. Anyway, I wound up with Montreal starting of the year 1929. And that's the year that I had a pretty good year, 22-12, I think it was.
You were about the best pitcher in the league that year.
Uh-huh.
But when you came up, you stayed. The Tigers were one of the first teams to use pitchers almost exclusively in relief. There was you, and then there was Marbury later.
Yeah, Marbury, Fred was Washington then.
Right.
Their ace reliever, Washington.
There was most teams just didn't have one man they used. You were one of the almost exclusive relief pitchers, one of the first ones.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't remember. I think the Yankees. Philadelphia Nationals, I believe. I can't remember his name now. That's getting damn disgusting with me. My memory is getting so flaky.
I have a hard time remembering some of my kids' names.
3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, think of things.
Well, the Phillies at that time, trying to think of who, Mace Brown, that was 6 or 7 years later, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was later. Yeah.
Let me look in the book real quick. Let me see who the Phillies had. It might be more difficult to find.
I can't remember who the Yankees had as a relief pitcher. He was one of the...
Phillies had a fellow named McGraw. Is that who it was?
Oh, Tug McGraw?
No.
He was much later.
No. This was a Bob McGraw or Bill McGraw back in... I'm trying to find... I can't find the Phillies here.
No, McGraw. The only McGraw I can remember. Bill...
No, Tug was just recently. Bob McGraw, in 19...
God, I don't even remember.
Yeah, 28.
Bad.
Okay.
But anyway, I was one of the first... And a reliever, hell, we never got much credit in those days, either.
No, it wasn't the glory job it is today. How did you enjoy relieving?
Oh, I didn't mind it. Hell, I didn't know what the score was. Didn't give it just as long as I was playing.
As long as you had a job.
And we could win, yeah, but...
Well, you, I guess, the first few years, well, you started maybe a third of the time and then relieved the rest of the time. Is that about right?
Yeah, I'd won all that fall. When I came up, I think I won a couple of games for starting.
Well, you had a shutout when you first came up.
Yeah.
Do you remember who that was against?
I know. I got beat 1-0. I don't remember the score on that. I could find it in my books here. But Earl Whitehill, I joined Detroit Club in Washington. Oh, I had my wife with me coming from Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And Bucky Harris is the manager. I think Earl pitched the first game. Earl Whitehill pitched the first game, and I think he got beat 2-0. And I think I pitched the second game. I got beat 1-0, or it's vice versa there. It doesn't make a whole lot of difference there.
Oh, the Tigers didn't bring their bats that day.
Huh?
The Tigers did not bring their bats that day.
We didn't score a run all afternoon.
Wow.
That was the first game I ever pitched. It got beat. One, it was either 1-0 or 2-0, or vice versa with Earl Whitehill.
That's still a pretty good start.
And then I pitched, I think, two or three games that fall with Detroit.
Was it Hal Elliott that
started? And I was with Detroit all 30.
Uh-huh.
And then they got tired of me or thought I need a little more minor league experience or something. They sent me to Toronto again.
In 31?
I think it was 31.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I was up there about 3 or 4 weeks, maybe a month. Then they pulled me in, and then I was with them from then on.
Well, you came back in 32. You had your best year you ever had with the Tigers. You won 11 games and led the league with 6 wins in relief.
Yeah.
And you also hit the ball. You had 246 batting average that year with 2 home runs.
Yeah, well, I'd have to get my books out. I've forgotten all that stuff.
Well,
I haven't seen my books, and I can't. Don't remember when.
You were a good hitting pitcher.
Well, I was fast. I'd dump one or drag one and carry the mail. I could go down that first baseline pretty good.
Well, you hit 6 home runs, too. Some of them were dumping them. You were swinging at those.
Yeah. Well, I hit 2 one afternoon in Philadelphia.
Did you really?
On Tony Freitas. He was a little left-hand pitcher that Connie Mack had.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, you were a left-handed hitter, too, so...
Yeah.
That's against the percentages.
But Tony, he got a couple in the middle of the plate. I know, because I used to get couple in the middle of the plate every once in a while. Sometimes I'd get them out, and sometimes they'd get me out. But then in those days, the team usually had to get me at the beginning of the game, pretty much, first inning or two, or get a little rough after that. And my old sinker ball would work pretty good at times.
Was that your best pitch?
Yeah, yeah. They call it the slider now. That was my curveball. I didn't know what the hell a slider was.
No, I don't guess back then anybody had a name for it. But you threw it, and what, two or three other guys threw it?
Yeah.
Was the relief pitcher in Philadelphia named Hal Elliott?
Pardon?
Was the relief pitcher in Philadelphia named Hal Elliott?
Elliott. Thank God I don't remember an Elliott.
That was, now he was, I know he relieved two or three years with the Phillies, but I'm not sure when that was, whether it was the 30s or the 40s. That's all right. Okay, in 34 and 35, you were on two of the best teams that could ever come along at that point. How good were the Tigers in those years?
We were good. Hank Greenberg, you know, was the main hitter. And old Silence Fun, my old roommate, road roommate, Charlie Gehringer, we had a pretty good ball club. And had Schoolboy Rowe and Tommy Bridges.
Had Goslin there for a couple of years.
Goslin, yeah. They made a deal with Washington, traded Johnny Stone, or one of our outfielders.
Stone was a good hitter, but he wasn't in the class with Goslin.
Oh, no, no.
The Tigers, no pitcher who's ever pitched any major part of his career for the Tigers has ever been elected to the Hall of Fame.
That's a thought. I hadn't never thought of it.
It's they've got guys like Bridges and Newhouser, and then Bolovich more recently, and then way back a guy like George Mullen. Do you think Tommy Bridges, for instance, do you think he's Hall of Fame caliber?
No.
I don't think he was that good.
The reason I'm glad you brought that up, because come to think of it, hit my brain, dumb brain, the one that I have left. The reason they weren't probably is they weren't, didn't have that much longevity, I'll put it that way. They weren't in the, didn't have their record so long.
Yeah. Got to have a lengthy career.
That may have had something to do with it.
Rowe was probably good enough if he'd have lasted.
Yeah. Maybe he had arm trouble, too, and wasn't in long enough to...
What's your opinion of your manager in those World Series years?
All right.
You liked him?
Oh, Mickey?
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd catch me... I pitched against him, you know, quite a little.
Oh, yeah.
When he was with Philadelphia. It was Connie. I'd be pitching out there, and I would experiment a little bit. I'd find it out pretty quick when old Mickey knew, too. All about I'd have to throw him is one ball. He'd step out and throw that plate, fire one back, and cut that out. Just hear him. Cut that out, you big son of a bitch. he was a good manager, yeah. And as long as he could play. And then after he got hit in the head, had to manage from the bench, he wasn't the same guy, they said. Of course, I was gone by that time. I'd been traded to the Browns.
Well, they had to trade you. Greenberg was hurt, and they had no first baseman, and they traded you for Burns.
Jack Burns is their first baseman, and hell, we won that pennant in 34, and we won it. Of course, we lost at the Cardinals in 34, and we won it in 35, beat the Cubs, and we'd have won that thing in 46 too. But as you say, Greenberg had his wrist broken, and he couldn't play, so they were. Traded me. That's why they traded me to the Browns for Jack Burns. And Jack Burns was a hell of a good first baseman with the Browns, but he for Detroit.
Well, that was his last year, and even as good as he was no Hank Greenberg.
And they lost his lost Hank, and then they lost my services as a relief pitcher.
Right.
And
didn't Rowe come up with his...
They did finish second in 36.
Wasn't that Rowe's year to have the arm problem?
Yes, uh-huh.
And yeah, with you and Rowe both gone, the pitching staff was really knocked out.
Yeah.
Well, you pitched in the two World Series, and...
I was in three games in the 34 World Series. I didn't get a decision, but...
Just gave up one run in 7 1/3 innings.
Yeah, and then that's when Mickey told me in St. Louis before we left there to go back to Detroit to finish the series. He said if it goes six games, I was going to be the starter.
Mm-hmm.
I'd went seven games, and I was in that seventh game, so was four other guys.
Yeah, they started Auker, didn't they?
Yeah.
And he got clobbered.
Yeah, well, hell, we all got clobbered.
Well, yeah, it was...
We were beaten before that game ever started.
10 or 12 runs I scored?
11 to nothing.
Yeah.
We were beaten before that game ever started. Walked in the clubhouse that day, and you'd hear a pin drop.
Okay.
Over in his office there, and the two coaches, hell, you couldn't... I say, you couldn't hear anything. Knew that old Diz was going to pitch against us and knew the Tank couldn't hit either one of them with our ballpark full of bats.
Yeah.
And anyway, we make a long story short, you know that, the answer anyway. We got beat 11 to nothing. There was five of us pitchers. We couldn't stop them. So that was that.
Well, your shortstop, Billy Rogel, I talked to him a few weeks ago. He said that that the Cubs, the next year, were probably a better team than the Cardinals were.
They may have been. The next year now, that been in 20, the year that we beat them?
Yeah, 35.
They had a good ball club. And then, of course, you know, who was the right-hand pitcher when their main pitcher got his arm went bad? I saw his arm drop. He was pitching against us the day we were playing him in Chicago.
Was it Bush?
Huh?
Bush?
No. I'll think of his name, too, about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. God damn.
Well, let me look real quick. I may have
that. Right-hand pitcher from Arkansas.
Oh,
you name it, and I'll tell you
Lonnie Warnke.
Oh, Warnaker, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a good pitcher.
Yeah. He was pitching game against us. I was down the bullpen watching, and I saw his arm drop when he may hurt his arm on that pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had a good ball club.
Yeah, Larry French was a pitcher, and they had a good hitting lineup. But you guys were better, at least for that period. You just pitched in one game that series.
That's all. Yeah, I was having a little trouble with my arm, and Mickey put me in to relieve. And he saw right away that I didn't have anything, so I think he would be put in Schoolboy Rowe, I guess, after me.
Well, you got
Schoolboy, I relieved Schoolboy.
Mm-hmm.
And Mickey saw right away that I wasn't going to get very many of them out, so he put somebody else in anyway, and I was only in one game then.
Well, you got him out.
Yeah, but then he took me out and put another pitcher in there. He could tell that I didn't have anything.
Well, you that year you led the league in wins again for a relief pitcher. You won 6 of them that year.
I don't know. I'd have to look in my books.
Yeah, twice you led the league in wins for a reliever, 6 each time. Well, you went to the Browns, and the Browns didn't fool around with you in the bullpen. They made you the number one starter.
Roger Hornsby's the manager then, and he let me start games. I think I won about 13 games.
You were 13 and 15 for the Browns, and you had one loss.
Had a hell of a losing year, too. I lost, I think, 19 as when Jim Bottomley was manager.
Yeah, it was awful easy to lose for the Browns.
Yeah, it was. And they had some pretty good hitters.
No pitching staff.
No pitching, no. We didn't have strong enough. We'd walk a batter, somebody boot one. We just didn't have strong enough pitching, any of us, to pitch out of those... our trouble.
Mm-hmm. You had a third baseman there for the Browns, Harlan Clift.
Harlan Cliff's a good ball player.
Is he a Hall of Famer? Or should he be, I mean?
I don't know about that.
He was the first third...
probably some in there that doesn't deserve it anymore than Harlan did. Would.
Harlan was the first third baseman to hit over 30 home runs, the first third baseman in history, and he set a whole lot of fielding records, but the fielding is so overlooked.
He's a good ball player. He's a good hustler and all that.
Yeah, if he'd been on a team with a little higher profile.
Oh, yeah. I think that carries a lot of weight there, a lot of consideration on those decisions and their Hall of Famers. But
yeah, that's a shame.
The ball bounces.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you played, it may have been the time of the best hitters that ever played the game. You had Ruth and Gehrig and Fox and Will Greenberg and Simmons and all those guys. Who was the best hitter, you think, that you saw?
Oh, along about that time, Yankees, of course, the first five hitters they had along those years, you know, there was Earl Coombs, center fielder. He was left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
And they got Joey Sewell, their third baseman. He was left-handed. And then came Ruth, and then came Gehrig, and then came Bill Dickey. They were all left-handed, so I kind of held my own with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, Dickey was rough for a left-hander, because he'd go down that line pretty good, too, you know. He'd dump one, drag one, and then every once in a while he'd wrap up on one.
Mm-hmm.
But Gehrig was a lot harder on me than Ruth was. I'd catch Ruth kind of sneaking back away from that plate 2 or 3 inches, laying for my sinker. Oh, God, he hit one back at me one day in the Yankee Stadium. For the hit of me, it decapitated me. On my follow-through, I threw him a sinker, and he hit a sinker. And I shall never forget that play. And as I say, he hit a sinker, and I mean he hit it. He blistered it. And it hit second base just right to bounce up in Charlie Gehringer's hand. Of course, Charlie, you know, crack of the bat. He'd break with the ball, sound of the ball.
Uh-huh.
And Charlie threw him out for Babe was halfway to...
Oh, no.
To first base. Dave just stopped like he's shot and looks at me and put his hands on his hips and says, "You big son of a bitch." He says, "I've got enough trouble with you without that." God, but Babe, he always gave hits, but he never did get the long one off from me.
It didn't do the real damage.
These hits, but no, he didn't murder me.
In the whole league, who was the toughest batter on you? Was there anybody that was really had your number?
Oh, hell, Ozzie Bluegie.
Oh, yeah?
Washington third baser.
Sure.
Hell, he could hit me blindfolded midnight, hit me a piece of bailing wire. He could, I throw him everything. Change of pace, curve, my spinner, and everything else. And Tony Lazzari was tough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys, but...
Well, considering everything, considering batting, fielding, everything, who was the one best player, you think, of your time?
Of course, lots of times I was never in a ball game long enough to... It was relieving, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you the best all-around ball player I ever did see all the years I played was, and I broke him in, Joe DiMaggio.
Oh, yeah?
Well, he could do everything.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people have told me. He was
He'd been hurt that spring. They'd burned his leg with diathermy treatment. And I was the Browns then. He came up. We knew he was a good hitter. Coming out of that Coast League. Anyway, I was fooling around out there with him. I think he was hitting third then, or fourth, one of the two. He's the best all-around ball player I've ever seen. Anyway, his first time at bat off me was a home run in old Sportsman's Park there in St. Louis. And I was still in the game when he was up the second time. I thought, that's a pretty good blow. And is that retaining wall in left center field in St. Louis, the old Sportsman's Park,
mm-hmm.
It hit right on the top of that retaining wall. Sammy West retrieved it. It bounced back in Sammy West's hand. Our center fielder
mm-hmm.
held him to a triple that time. That's when I start talking to myself as a son of a gun. I'm leaking. He's up next year in the game the next time to see whether he belongs there or not. I didn't throw at his head, but I gave him one, get him down around his breast and belly. Thought if I'd get him mad at me and cursing me, I'd have a little better luck than home runs and triples. But he got up, just brushed himself off, and didn't even look at me. But he get his hits. But from then on, I just got to goosing that little old, keeping him back off the plate a little bit once in a while, threw him that little old tantalizing spinner that I had. Had better luck with him then than I did home runs and triples.
Yeah, slow him down a little bit, held him a single.
Pitching the game when Bob Feller broke in.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. 1926.
He struck out a bunch of you guys.
Oh, Jesus. God. He was just that scared to death. We had St. Louis or Cleveland beat, I don't know, about 8-2 or something like that. And manager put Bob in there to finish up the last two innings. God, he was scared to death, naturally, like we all were when we broke him.
Sure.
And he would just have to throw back of a hitter as he was in front of him. Anyway, he stayed in the game till the finish. And we left and went on the road, about 2 or 3 weeks after that. And Bob started against us. I think he struck out 16, 17 of us then.
I believe it was 7.
That hitter had to be alert.
Mm-hmm.
He hit a guy or two in the head, too, if I remember correctly. But he was wild. Jesus, he was wild. But he had a lot of stuff.
Was he the best pitcher you think you saw?
Oh, he had a terrific curveball, and he had a terrific fastball.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of motion to go with it.
Oh, yeah.
Was Walter Johnson still playing when you came up? No, he was through, wasn't he? He'd been through a couple of years.
Walter?
Yeah.
He was managing the Cleveland Ball Club when I came up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he could. He pitched batting practice. He threw that thing pretty good. Yep, then.
Yeah.
But he said he was kind of a tough manager to work for, too. He was a good pitcher, about like Hornsby. Hornsby thought all the hitters ought to be as good as he was.
You can't
but
teach it.
He said about Walter Johnson that all the pitchers ought to be as good as he was. Damn few Walter Johnsons.
Probably nobody has.
Yeah.
But you were, 11 years in the major leagues. What was either your best game or your biggest thrill in your time in the majors?
Oh, God. Grant, I can't think right now what would pick up. I think the first game when I got beat is either 1-0 or 2-0 at Washington. I don't know.
So just being there was your biggest one?
Yeah. I think so, yeah. Series games was thrill, but no big thrill that I can remember of now. Nice to be there.
Yeah, I bet it was. Well, it's been over 60 years since you became a major leaguer, and 65 years since you started playing. The game, it's still, you got to swing the bat and hit the ball, but the basics are the same, but there's an awful lot of differences, too.
Different, little different school, financial-wise.
Oh, boy. Yeah. What was your top salary?
$7,500.
And now?
Buying a middle-sized Buick car and going to Florida every winter on that, too.
Yeah.
I don't think you can get to Georgia on that today.
Not unless you're hitching.
Huh?
Not unless you're hitching down there.
Ridiculous.
So now the minimum, what is the minimum, 90,000, 95,000?
Today?
Yeah.
100.
Is it 100 now?
100. Was, I think, in the 70s.
It was 72.5, I think, and they raised it, yeah.
To 100.
Yeah, wow. So that's the money now, you think, is the biggest change in the game from the time you played?
Well, it's ridiculous. But the hotel isn't ridiculous today.
Well, that's true. Not just in baseball and everything.
Mr. Kaufman, owner of the Kansas City ball club Royals right now, has got the most expensive. He's paying the Kansas City players more than any other baseball club in either league.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
It's hard to imagine, especially the way they're playing.
Yeah.
Well, back in your day, you had to earn your salary. You didn't get 3 and 4 year contracts that allowed you to coast.